Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
77 F-bombs last night. Not me, not Eric. Brian Price, I'm sure you've heard about it by now, but we have to talk about that here on the show today because Brian Price was an Arizona Diamondback pitching coach and was someone that I dealt with quite a bit. And today that has become one of the big national stories today. Today is also the NFL schedule. Draft is in 9 days. The schedule is being released this afternoon at 5. And I've got some key thoughts on the Cardinals and their schedule for you guys here in the middle of the day. You can talk about over lunch, talk about this afternoon with your friends, some things around the Cardinals schedule that we need to get into. In terms of the draft, we'll have Charles Davis with us today. It's always great to have Charles, NFL Network draft analyst. He's the lead guy on Fox College Football. Charles Davis is one of these risers in the industry. He's breaking down tape all the time. So I want to talk to him about, I'm sure he's done Mariota and Winston to death over and over and over. He's done it here on our show. So I want to ask him about, give me a player that no one's talking about that he's excited about. He and Mike Mayock worked together on the NFL draft. So we're looking forward to the content with Charles Davis. He'll join us here coming up in about 15 minutes at 10:20 thereabouts. The Diamondbacks are back home tonight. Had a really good chat yesterday with Derek Hall on the show. I'm going to circle back around on that. Found myself watching a lot of the playoffs last night. Not that I'm the biggest Milwaukee Bucks fan or the New Orleans Pelican fan, but I am interested in those games. And we have some news around Arizona State and Bobby Hurley. Yesterday on the show, we talked about a guard who was trying to transfer out of Buffalo to ASU potentially. And was being blocked. That has changed here in the last 24 hours. And some other recruiting stuff around U of A as well. So we have some college basketball. What do you want me to go with today, Eric? What are you excited about? We have Dello on the show today, too. United is having their home opener. Arizona United SC on Saturday night, 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium. They've already sold almost 6,000 tickets for their home opener. They're 3-1.
It's got to be Brian Price.
Yeah.
The now Cincinnati Reds manager, who, well, got a little testy yesterday before their game with some of the.
Have you ever gone on a rant like that?
Not 77 curse words.
I have not either. I'm trying to think of rants through the years.
The audio, Brad, was almost 6.5 minutes. So think about cussing consecutively for almost 6.5 minutes. That's quite a feat.
So, like, Tommy Lasorda was asked about Kingman. This was back in the day. What did you think of Kingman's performance?
That was one of the all-time great ones. Yeah, you were talking about it this morning. I had never seen that. That's probably a little bit before my time. But
the Bavacqua couldn't hit bleeping water if he fell out of a bleeping boat. That was Tommy Lasorda. That was a great one.
Love the Hal McCray. We discussed
Hal
that
Hal McCray was great.
Ripping the phone out of the wall and throwing it against the wall.
You know, Denny's thing here in town doesn't – I don't think it comes close to Brian Price.
No, but it was the NFL, so it was, and it was after a Monday Night Football game against the Bears, so it was really exaggerated and still to this day talked about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the point that was brought up in this Brian Price thing, and we'll get to it here in a minute. The reporter's just trying to do his job, but is he too much of a seam head? I think that's something that we can talk about here. Let's get you caught up. What is on my mind in the world of sports? Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Have you ever been to the Honda Resort and Casino? You've heard me here for 3 years talking about this. And the place to get away to. Well, it's terrific to be up in the high country. Gorgeous part of our state. Up in the White Mountains, you can make your plans to head up this weekend or during the week or summertime. I know I'll be up there in a couple of months for the White Mountain Steak Fry with Coach Graham and Coach Hurley at the Pine Top Lakes, and we'll have a great time. The place to stay is at the Honda Resort and Casino. You can pull down on the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, and get away from it all at the Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, big part of sports360az.com. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. Charles Davis here in a couple of minutes. I am going to start with Pacquiao Mayweather because it came out about 10 minutes ago that the ref is going to be Kenny Bayless. Kenny Bayless is going to make $25,000 to ref this fight. Manny and Floyd will each make $23,148 per second of this fight. $23,148 per second a week from Saturday. Next week, we've got the draft, we've got the fight, and we have the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's going to be a great, if you want to do the double, you go do the Derby during the day, catch a flight, go to Vegas, you'll be there for the flight. I mean, that's getting it done. It's going to be big time. The Diamondbacks are home tonight. Chase Anderson will be on the mound. Yesterday, we had Derek Hall on the show. We're excited about where the Diamondbacks are. Their television ratings are great. Here is Derek Hall on the Diamondbacks being competitive to where they are this point of the season.
The losses that we've had, Brad, have all been close. And, you know, we've had a chance to win every one of those games. We were getting blown out, you know, and the only blowout that we had, we actually had a chance to win with Goldie on deck as the tying run for that final game of the homestand here. So I'm encouraged. I'm not pounding my chest and saying, oh, we're going to win the division. It's none of that. But I'm with you. I think it's a big bounce back year. We were very injured. We had a lot of bad luck last year. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong.
Okay, so he's not giving happy talk there. Those of you that have watched me more than a nanosecond know that I just cannot handle happy talk. It's kind of like watching the Suns say they've got it all figured out when they weren't even close. I think the Diamondbacks do have it figured out. I think with La Russa and Stewart on the baseball end with Chip Hale in the dugout, the team just seems crisper. They play a better brand of baseball. Yeah, they're not injured, but they're also not kicking the ball all over the place. Texas isn't that great. I mean, you can get together, and they've got Pittsburgh coming this weekend. This is a chance on this homestand, and the Pirates have talent, don't get me wrong. But if the pitching holds up, I really like the chances of where the Diamondbacks are. I'll be really interested to see Archie Bradley pitch tomorrow night and how that works out. All right, so that's tonight. Now to Brian Price. To give this story a bit of context, Brian Price is the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. Many people still believe it's Dusty Baker. They haven't been paying attention. They don't know. Brian Price, BP, was part of Buck's staff here at one point in time, part of the Diamondbacks staff, and was the pitching coach. He is the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. He had a meeting with beat writers. As they do every day, managers meet with the media. Sometimes there's cameras there, sometimes there's not. More and more, there are less cameras there because the television stations simply don't have the resources to send a camera down there every day. So the role of a beat writer to me, I've never been one, but I've been around enough of them to have a very good idea of what their role is, so I can speak to this. When I hosted the Diamondbacks pre- and post-game shows back on the day over at KTAR, I would be right there with very talented writers like Mark Gonzalez and Ed Price. And the role of a beat writer is he is the conduit between the team and the fans in terms of information. He is trying to, or she is trying to gather the most pertinent up-to-date information around the team. And that means there's 25 players on a roster plus coaches, that there's 25 stories every day along with coaches in front office that beat writer better be plugged into. The beat writer is not there to pacify the organization. The beat writer's not there to intentionally stir it up with the organization. In my opinion, there are times where beat writers in this day and age of media get intimidated because PR people don't like the fact that beat writers are simply doing their job. Some beat writers are better than others. Some beat writers dig way too far in and look too far in on things, in my opinion. So this is an exchange you're about to hear because contextually, I think, let's explain this rather than just say, here's a soundbite of a guy using an F-bomb. That's pretty cool. No, that's clickbait, and that's not what we're about. Brian Price meeting with the media, this gets it started to what has turned into one of the biggest stories today and in quite some time in terms of social media.
Anything on Devin right now that you can update us with?
Well, obviously he's not here.
Right.
Broke that story last night, apparently. He's home for family reasons.
Can you stop this, Eric? So he's already said you broke that story last night, apparently. So Brian Price is already giving a little bit of an attitude like you broke something. Well, I think that's the job of a beat writer. A guy gets sent home for injury.
He will not return until tomorrow.
Very fair.
So you expect him back tomorrow?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I don't understand what the importance is for everybody to know if we have a player that's not here.
Okay, so the manager's turning this around and asking the beat writer, what's the importance? I don't know. It's one of 25 players, and you have to know what the availability is of a player. Now, Brian Price takes issue with that.
We don't benefit at all from the other teams knowing that we don't have a player. It does. You don't have to be a Reds fan, but it doesn't help us if our opponents know who's here and who isn't. That's what I want to know.
Well, as a fan, I'm wondering, well, here's a spot for Devin Mesoraco. Why isn't he here?
Where was the spot?
It's a pinch hitter. I mean, he's an all-star with 25 home runs last year. He hits, I know you, I asked if it was a left-handed bat thing. You said no.
This is very fair by the beat writer. Very fair, because it goes to the, if you're a fan and you're at home and you're saying, why is he not using this guy here? Well, the guy wasn't available. This is not hockey where they give you upper body and lower body extremity injuries, which is so vague. And, you know, Brian Price's point is, well, they could go after a player if they know that he's injured. Here's more.
I don't get it. It's you know, look, I don't need you guys to be fans of the Reds. I just need to know that if there's something that we want to keep here, that it stays here.
Now, something you want to keep here stays here. That's not the role of a beat writer. Beat writer is, there are things that are off the record. An injured player is not something that's off the record if that player cannot compete.
Has it always been this way?
Yes.
Where we just tell everybody everything. So every opponent that we have has to know exactly what we have, which relievers are available, which guys are here and which guys aren't here, when they can play, what they can do. It's nobody business. It's certainly not the opponent's business.
But it's the fans'
business.
We've got
to deal with this bullshit. I'd like to talk, and I have spoken as candidly as I can with you people. If that's not good enough, I won't say a f***ing thing. I'll go yes, sir, no, sir. And I can do that. But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every f***ing team that we f***ing play has to know every f***ing guy that's here and what they can and can't do. F*** me. It's a f***ing disgrace. I'm f***ing sick of this. It's f***ing hard enough to f***ing win here to have f***ing every f***ing opponent know exactly what the f*** we bring to the table every day. It's f***ing f***ing. I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. Make it very clear. I don't like the way that this is going at all.
Okay. So he's not even warmed up yet. This went on for 6.5 minutes. And by the way, Eric didn't do the editing on this. If he did, he would still be editing, because this is like, I mean, it's a fine job. I'm not getting on your case. I'm just glad somebody pre-edited it. So that's all I'm saying.
It's weird because these types of things usually happen towards the end of the season
when
the team is really bad and it's been a long year and you have to deal with these beat writers and media every single day because baseball is played 6 to 7 times
a
week.
Part of the job.
It's part of the job. I'm almost surprised, Brad, that this doesn't happen more often.
Well, when you're asked about a player, like Buck at times did not like talking about specific players. But it's very fair to say who is available and who is not tonight. If you're a fan of the team and you think that that should be kept secret, that you should be in the dark, that's half the fun of baseball. And it's pretty evident when the Diamondbacks have a pitcher that goes 3 1/3 innings and the bullpen gets taxed, that the next day the very fair question to ask Chip Hale or Kirk Gibson or Bob Brenly or, you know, right down the list of managers is, what is the availability of so-and-so? He threw a lot of pitches last night. Brian Price is saying, I don't want to deal with this bleep. But wait, we have not even hit him being completely fired up and warmed up. Again, this went for 6.5 minutes. So contextually, here is the meat of it where he's just losing his mind. Oh, that's it. That's it. So that was the rant. So those two.
Again, Brad, I could have, you know, I could have played the whole 6 minutes, but it's just more of bleep, deep, dap, deep, beep. I don't want to bleep, dip, dap, deep, to boop, dip.
So in Cincinnati, you had Pete Rose getting put back in on Fox earlier this week as one manager. Brian Price. In this story, he sent out a apology, but it was kind of a backhanded one. I'll get to that a little bit later. We've got Charles Davis coming up next. So I'll get into this a little bit further on in the show. And also in the next segment, after Charles Davis, we'll talk about the Cardinals and their schedule being released this afternoon, some of the high points, low points. That's next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
NFL Draft 9 days away. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Charles Davis back on the program, lead analyst, Fox College Football and the NFL Network. He has been doing dozens and dozens and hundreds of shows and drafts and mocks. And what do you think of Mariota and Winston, to the point of whenever I've had you on, you're never sick of this stuff. Right? But okay, here's the thing, Charles. Who's the player you haven't been asked about enough that you're like, guys, all you draft Knicks, all of you draft fans, here's the guy or here's the story around this draft that you're all missing. Who is that guy?
Oh, I love your question, and I loved your setup. And no, when you get down to it, no one is quote-unquote sick of it, because if you sit and think to yourself, okay, if I had a real job, what would I be doing? I'd probably be really sick of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're all ready for it to get here. Does that make any sense?
Sure,
it's like
it does.
Any type of big holiday or thing, you know, the anticipation is wonderful.
Sure.
But eventually you want to get to the big moment. So who have you not asked me about? Who is the story that we are absolutely missing? I don't know that we actually missed anyone anymore. But I'm sitting here watching Cam Irving from Florida State, and it's not sexy. It's not anything that blows your doors off where you're talking about. But he's the left tackle converted to center. I'm watching him work against Florida right now, which, of course, that's where Dante Fowler Jr. plays. And they're not going head-to-head because Irving is playing center in this game. But let me tell you something. They both you watch this tape, and you understand how they got their reputation. And Irving, I actually talked with a player personnel director just last week, and in fact, as we watched this play, they actually went head-to-head. They brought Fowler Jr. on an inside stunt, and Irving just took him to the ground and knocked his helmet off. So you can see the athleticism, the physicality of both of them, but when I was talking about that player personnel director, he went to the P word with Irving. And you know what the P word is? Pouncy. And that's a big-time comparison when you're talking about centers in the NFL, because if you're going to rank centers in the NFL, the two pouncies aren't going to be, they're going to be in their top five and probably likely in your top three.
All right. So, and that's a great answer. That's what I'm looking for, because I've had you on, I don't know, 3-4 times, and I feel like I've done enough of Winston and Mariota and in terms of the breakdown of it. So let me turn this around on you. We'll stick with Pac-12.
Yeah.
How did Washington's defense give up any points at all, given the guys that are on Washington's defense? And I understand that Peters wasn't there, but you know, Sark had some guys there before he left. I'm just saying, everybody's focusing on the Pac-12, but look at these Washington guys.
He had some dudes, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had flat-out dudes. I mean, let's boil it down this way. Let's say Marcus Peters adapted to Chris Peterson and his staff and was all in and played his normal Marcus Peters football. We would have had 4 All-Americans on defense at Washington last year.
Yeah.
Because you had 3. You know, people have to remember, Shelton was an All-American as well as an academic All-American, which I've got to give him kudos for that. You've got Shaq Thompson, who was an All-American as a linebacker slash rover back, however you wanted to define him. And you had Haole Kakaha, who led the nation in sacks. Either Lettelmer was second in sacks. So to your question, how did anyone get anything done? I'm going to give you the most basic answer I can give you, and I believe it's the right one. It's the Pac-12, man.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 renders defenses almost helpless at times. And it's really a catch-22 when you get down to it, because I'm going to give you a stat that you're probably aware of. We know the Pac-12 offenses are pretty high-powered, right? We know that they're going to rank pretty highly, especially in throwing the football, those types of statistics. But what's the converse to that? Guys who rush the passer, because you throw it so much, Pac-12 quarterbacks, year in and year out, if you list the top 10 schools for being sacked, Pac-12 quarterbacks are going to be 5 of the top 10 probably at a minimum. And that just holds up each and every year. So you get the pass rusher. So Kakaha was one or two. Nate Orchard from Utah was one or two. And their sack numbers are just off the chart. And so people go, how are those guys not ranked ahead of a Dante Fowler, who didn't get 10 sacks, right? A Vic Beasley from Clemson, who had less sacks than those guys. And right on down the line, well, it's different when you throw the ball as much as you do in the Pac-12.
No, it makes sense.
It gives you more opportunities to get to the quarterback, and those guys do.
Charles Davis, lead analyst, Fox College Football, NFL Network, with Brad Sesmat, draft 9 days away. You are Steve Keim. You're sitting there on the clock, and you have Gurley and Gordon both there at 24, although I think that might be a bit of a reach the way things are starting. What direction would Charles Davis go?
Well, the medical recheck was this weekend with Todd Gurley. Everything I heard going into it was going to be pretty positive. I have not gotten my final from people yet, but I have not heard that there's concern. And I have a feeling that if there was concern, we all would have heard about it by now, Eric.
So I think
that, listen, by now I think you know I've got a man crush on Gurley.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that he is an absolute force as a running back. I know he's coming off the knee. I know the accomplishments of Gordon, and I respect the heck out of them. I think he got better every year. Gordon I liken to an NBA player who figures out each and every year what his game is missing and spends the summer taking care of that. That's how Kobe did it. You know, every summer there was something he said, okay, I've got to add this to my arsenal. Jordan did that. All those guys, and they came back the next year, and that was taken care of. That's how I think Gordon went through his career at Wisconsin. He started out as a gimmick guy, became more involved in the offense his second year. His last year he was full scale, could catch the ball, run the ball, protect the passer, the whole deal. But I think Todd Gurley's as close to Adrian Peterson coming out as we've had. But I will tell you, I don't believe he's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. But if you're not Adrian Peterson, but you're close to that, I think you're a pretty good player.
No, and it's really interesting, Charles, because you know I've had fans that have said, you know, Brad, the Cardinals are going to get Adrian Peterson. Well, I don't know that. I don't believe as we're sitting here today. And yeah, it would be exciting to see that. So who's the closest thing? And you hear more and more about Gurley, but I tell you, there's some running backs a little bit down the line there.
Yeah.
That when I talk over at the Cardinals and those folks, they may be looking at some people a little bit later than running back in the 24th pick.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, as much as I'm a huge running back guy, I'm also a product of when I grew up. The ball was stuck in the running back's chest 20, 25 times a game, and the runner was celebrated, and we went after them high in the draft, and that's how we ran offense. Well, NFL teams threw the ball 68% of the time last year. 68%?
Yeah.
You know, somewhere my grandfather's just spinning in his grave, like, what is this game that you're playing? This is not what I know. So that's a different deal. So that means the running back, as we keep saying, devalued, although we all know their value is really high for those teams that make the playoffs and make Super Bowl runs. But truthfully, that we don't hand it to them the way we did before. So we say, hey, can we get the same type of value later? And the answer is yes. It's a much deeper running back class. So let's go beyond those top two. Jay Ajayi, Boise State. I keep hearing things about his knee. They said there was a medical retest over the weekend. Turned out that report was erroneous. He wasn't even there.
Mm.
But I've heard stuff about his knee all along in this process. So teams already either know about it and have made their decision about whether he's on their board or off their board. But he's a heck of a football player. Amir Abdullah, Nebraska.
They like him out here.
Listen, and what's not to like? He's a do-it-all type of a running back. Very short, compact, well-built guy who can catch the ball. You want to sum up Amir Abdullah? Plug in the last offensive play of the game, Nebraska versus McNeese State. And I know you're like, McNeese State?
McNeese State.
Nebraska's about to lose the game at home early in the season. And Amir Abdullah makes a catch on fourth down and turns in a run for the ages. It just simply said, I'm not losing this game today. And it's just it's a force of nature run is the best way I can put it. T.J. Yeldon from Alabama, people may be mixed on, but I feel like he is moving up in stock. ran in the mid 4.4s at his pro day. I think he's one of those guys that's had to make a decision, like a Le'Veon Bell. Do I play bigger and be a tackle breaker, or do I play leaner, still break tackles, but maybe make people miss a little bit more? Well, when did Le'Veon Bell really have his best year in Pittsburgh? Looked pretty lean last year, didn't
he? Yeah.
I mean, that was more his style. That's another guy to keep an eye on. I'm going to give you a sleeper. Down the road, you can get him in the fourth round or so. He might be a little bit more of that thumper-type back. He looks a little bit bigger. Mike Davis from South Carolina. A lot of people don't really have him high on the radar. Catches the ball well out of the backfield. Took a few dings and maybe didn't get the numbers and accumulate them that you might think. And people go, well, he's in South Carolina. You know, they throw it all the time. Think about when Steve Spurrier was at Florida and they were running the fun and gun. Fred Taylor, Eric Rick. I mean, he had runners coming out of his ears. And that's when they operate their offense best.
Let me throw some local guys by. Talking about Charles Davis, and I could go through running backs all day, but our time is short here.
There are a bunch of them. There's no doubt. The ultimate sleeper, Zach Zenner, South Dakota State. Grab him in the seventh round. The immediate comparison to Danny Woodhead will be evident to you. Anybody who goes over 2,000 yards 3 years in a row, I don't care if it's Pop Warner football, he's a heck of a football player. All right, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. We could do Duke Johnson and Tevin Coleman, but we're going to move on. We're going to move
on. There's a bunch of guys on the path, so no doubt.
Brett Hundley. Okay, so we've seen him in high school here in Arizona, went to UCLA, had him in studio, great kid, said, right there with Mariota and Winston Brad, just wait and see, and now I'm hearing he's going the opposite direction. 9 days before the draft, Charles, what are you hearing about Brett Hundley?
I'm hearing... I'll quote a player personnel director. After Mariota and after Winston, no quarterback should be taken before the third round, but some will.
Mm.
Brett Hundley's in that mix to be taken before the third round. I wrote an article for NFL.com. I hope it doesn't sound too self-serving, but it's only to make a point. A while ago, where I listed Brett Hundley as one of my guys who I think will play better than his draft number. But ultimately, whatever he gets drafted, I think he'll play higher than that. People have told me all along that he's slipping, that they don't like him much. I think if you've watched my player rankings, I've been very consistent that Brett Hundley's been my third quarterback, and I've not wavered off of that. I've had plenty of opportunities to do so. Trust me on this one. I have plenty of people tell me, I wouldn't go in that direction. But you've got to look at size. You've got to look at speed. You've got to look at overall athletic ability. The idea of him getting a chance to get coached on the pro level, I think the potential is there for him to be a big-time player, to be a guy that can get into the NFL. I know we've got people who are pessimistic that we don't have any starters past the first two. I wouldn't say that about Brett Hundley. Maybe I'm just stubborn that way. But I've seen performances from him that lead me to believe that this kid's got a chance. I was surprised to hear Jim Mora say, well, he's got to go somewhere and sit for a while. Because I don't know if that helped him. I know it didn't help him in public perception. I think all quarterbacks are better served if they sit for a while, and that includes Mariota and Winston. But that's just not reality if they're going to go as high as they go. But Hundley gets into the right place, gets coached the right way, they utilize his gifts. I thought he got better as the year went on this past year. I think the Utah game would be his low point, where the 10 sacks occurred. I thought starting the very next week with Oregon, he got better. You know, he started using his legs better to sting the defense more. I thought, I popped in the Washington tape later in the year. I thought he played one of his better games. Eyes were up downfield. If all of those things come together and he handles pocket presence, I think Brett Hundley has a chance to be a guy that people are going to go, you know something? We should have jumped on him earlier. That's just my feeling about him, because I know he's a gym rat, very intelligent kid, personable kid. I think he's a good leader. I think he has all the skills you're looking for.
Before I let you go, I got about a minute here, and I can't go through every ASU player. There's four of them, and I know Randall. The last time you were on, you were raving about him. But where are you out here? Where are you out here on Jalen Strong, Randall, Hardison? You want to pick one of those guys off the board and Jamil Douglas, one of those four, and say, all right, this guy's rising, this guy's dropping.
Well, Randall, we know is rising. My colleague Mike Mayock, the face of our draft coverage, NFL Network, has moved him to the number one safety. And it makes perfect sense. He has those man-to-man coverage skills that are big time. Jamil Douglas, I like him better inside at guard than I do out at tackle. I think that he will be a middle-round guy that's going to play a long time in the NFL. Hardison is a guy who's not gotten nearly enough attention. And in fact, I had it on my list to punch him in and watch him a little bit more again today. Excellent skills, excellent frame. We just don't talk about him. He's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. But don't be surprised again, because remember, day one is round one only. Day two is rounds two and three. Day three is rounds four through seven. So when we say day three, people think it's a major knock. That could be a fourth round, fifth round pick. That's not so bad. Wouldn't be surprised to see a Hardison go day three with a possibility of slipping into day two. And then Jalen Strong, there's a lot of rumors about his wrist and this, that, and everything. I still say that he goes second round at the absolute latest. Still a possibility of him getting into the first round.
As always, appreciate your insight and your time. I know you're busy, Charles. Thanks.
Hey, we're all busy. I appreciate your time as well.
Take care. There's Charles Davis, lead analyst, Fox College Football, NFL Network. Terrific. Always catching up with Charles Davis. Really good insight 9 days before the NFL draft. Sports360AZ.com. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Good stuff there from Charles Davis on the ASU guys and around the NFL draft. I'm Brad Sussmat. So with the draft 9 days away, a couple other things. And thanks again to Charles Davis. Michael De La Russa will join us in about 20 minutes. Arizona United SC with their home opener. About 6,000 they're expecting as soccer continues to grow in the Valley. And we'll have our weekly conversation with head coach De La Russa coming up at about 11:05. Good to talk to Coach Dello. I'm doing their games again this year. It'll be a lot of fun out at Scottsdale Stadium. Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones in a radio interview this morning in Dallas said, quote, "I don't see us using any picks to trade for veteran players." So Jerry's son says, we're not trading. I don't see us using any picks to trade for veteran players. I don't see us. That doesn't mean we're not going to. Please be specific. No, we are not going to do this in regards to Adrian Peterson. The schedule comes out later today, and there's a few things around the Cardinals' schedule I want to get into. They're actually in the weight room today, and Jared Cohen is over there. We'll have some video of that here in the next segment. But the schedule comes out tonight at 5 o'clock, and here's a few things that you need to know. The home schedule is St. Louis, San Francisco, Seattle. We got that from the NFC West. And what we saw this last year, and actually we've seen the last few years, and I like this about the NFL, they typically try to save some of those games till late in the season. So the last 3 weeks of the year, you're seeing the Cardinals against St. Louis, against San Francisco, and against Seattle. I think that's really good for interest. The Cardinals have Green Bay at home. I would like to see that game be on a Thursday night. Put it in prime time. Needs to be there. They have Minnesota at home. I'd like to see that on a Sunday night with Adrian Peterson against his former team in a Cardinal uniform. Makes for a great storyline. They have Baltimore. I like Baltimore. They have Cincinnati, and they have New Orleans as the other home games here. None of those games, to me, are, you know, things that I have to see, although you can make the argument of Drew Brees on Monday night or Thursday night. You can make the argument of Andy Dalton. No, you can't make the argument of Andy Dalton. You can't. Just dreadful. Joe Flacco, sure. You can do the quarterback thing. Flacco, Palmer, Cardinals, Ravens, Monday night. That's fine. I think the part that you have to look at here is the away games that the Cardinals have this year. So they have games in cities like Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. Please get those games out of the way before about November 15th. If you're a Cardinals fan, I think you'd like to see those games out of the way. You don't want to be in a position late in the year where you're a game out of the playoffs or a game up in the playoffs, and you've got to go to Chicago, and it's going to be 19 degrees and snowing. That just is not something you want to be in.
Remember when things started going sideways with Wiz, and the Cardinals had that, I want to say, Thanksgiving-ish game in New England, and they lost like 63-0? This was probably 2 or 3 years ago. A perfect example of having to go back east.
They had that overtime game against New England that they won.
Not a lot to play for. It was before that, though.
It was before that.
It was Wiz and Hunt era, not Arians era.
Yeah.
And they got absolutely obliterated, and it was freezing cold, and it was just a complete mess.
Well, and to that point, Eric, it's the, you don't want to have late season travel. Remember last year the Cardinals had a stretch the last weeks of November where they played at Seattle, and the following week they played at Atlanta? That's over 5,000 miles of air travel. And they looked just dreadful in the game against Atlanta. And they had an emotional game against Seattle because it was a divisional game.
It's a shame you're not here tomorrow because we can do the... Because I know you love playing this game, and every other show in America does this.
Yeah,
hey, let's break out the schedule and go down the win-loss.
1-1, 2-1.
Exactly.
3-2.
Ah, the NFL.
Yeah,
great.
I know. They play Pittsburgh. Okay, for the Cardinals, for them to play Pittsburgh early in the season, Le'Veon Bell has been basically told he's going to be suspended the first three games. If the schedule comes out today and Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers are supposed to play the Cardinals the first 3 weeks and he's not there, that's a benefit to the Cardinals. There's no other way to put it. You take one of the top running backs in the league off the field. So that Pittsburgh game, they're going to play Pittsburgh. It's already laid out there. Play that game early in the season. It's also an East Coast game. Get that out of the way in September. That would be to their benefit. Do you think, Eric, the Detroit game, because it's an away game, is a Thanksgiving Cardinals game?
Oh, they couldn't do that, could they? Detroit, but maybe they will.
Because
two of the league's oldest teams on Thanksgiving.
Because they always do what? Lions-Packers,
yep,
or Lions-Vikings, right?
Right? Yep.
The Lions have the early game because of the, you know, the relationship with Ford, and they
always
say,
it's always in Detroit,
yeah,
every year.
Got to take care of that big brand, you know? It's there. So the fact that the Cardinals have a game at Detroit would the NFL schedule makers say, you know, we think enough of Arizona, there's enough of a buzz?
I'd have to say no.
I'd have to say no too,
but it's definitely worth thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games you look at in circle and say, okay. You know, because I could see the Cardinals playing, like, what was it, Thanksgiving a few years ago, they played Baltimore, was it, on Thanksgiving night? If I remember correctly,
the game
was in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So could they play at Philadelphia on Thanksgiving night? Could they play? I'd like to see the Cardinals have some of these marquee matchups, you know, nationally televised games. But I'm pretty certain that we're going to see a healthy dose the last 3 weeks of the season being St. Louis, San Francisco, Seattle. I think that that works. So the schedule is going to come out later today. That'll be at 5 o'clock. And we'll put that up on sports360az.com once the schedule comes out, some of the angles around it. Philip Rivers wants out of San Diego, according to LaDainian Tomlinson. I saw the interview. You know when you have people on, or when you guys watch this show, and sometimes you can tell somebody wants to say something, but they know that they really shouldn't say something? LaDainian Tomlinson had every bit of a sound to him that I've talked to Philip, and he really doesn't like what's going on with the Chargers, and he wants out, but I can't say that because only he can. That caught my eye. The Rivers thing, it makes perfect sense. If they move to LA, which I still believe they're going to do, the stadium in San Diego is a dump. The city can't get their act together. They haven't been able to get their act together for 20 years. And Philip Rivers is not an LA guy. Eric Weddle's a free agent. Antonio Gates is a free agent. Rivers was talking about, or Tomlinson was talking about how he has not had the same group of receivers, how he's upset that he's seen receivers come and go. Guess what, partner? That's the NFL. You can't be the one that says, well, I'm really upset that this guy left and that guy left, so I'm going to go to Tennessee and get my head kicked in. Because that was what would happen. Adrian Wilson retirement yesterday. It was really nice. I heard some of the audio clips. Eric, you were there. He got emotional. Patrick Peterson asked a question. I think it's just because he hasn't been on the field in so long. Some people were sending me notes like, I thought he had already retired, but that's not saying anything negative about him. But
the best player, or I guess former player question came from Bertrand Berry, who asked Adrian Wilson, what will you miss more, the locker room or game day? And Adrian Wilson's response was classic. He said, I'll miss the locker room on game day.
Yeah, no, that's great.
With a smile.
That's great. Here's Adrian Wilson of what he accomplished here in Arizona.
My whole life, all I ever wanted to do was matter, to be a part of a change, to be a part of a centerpiece, and to turn a team around. I poured my heart and soul into this organization and led with a quiet storm mentality.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian's story, there's a lot that happened when he was growing up that was tough stuff. And Steve Keim had been through a lot of it. Here's more of Adrian Wilson.
I owe you more than a paragraph on this piece of paper. It seems like yesterday when I was 17 years old, and you take me under your wing at NC State. If I could open up my heart and show you how much love it is in there for you, I would do that. From day one to the end, you was always there for me. And that's true friendship.
Yeah, that's what he's all about. And it's not over for him. It's always hard when they walk off the field. It's always hard when they're done playing, but he'll be fine. He's hooked on with the organization. These guys that when they leave the game and they want to go open a restaurant, which is like just taking piles of money and throwing it into a furnace, you know, so you have your name on a restaurant. I was watching the Marcus Dupree 30 for 30 last night. And the amount of money that Marcus had made back in the day and the people that advised him poorly and how he went through his money is tragic. Adrian is in a great spot. He's going to be here. He's got a tie to the organization. They'll take care of him for the rest of his life, I would imagine. And then he can figure out what else he wants to do. It's really good. On the other side, there's some news around Stanley Johnson and the U of A. Someone within Stanley's inner circle with a very big voice is saying, stay. I will tell you who that voice is on the other side. Plus, Bobby Hurley, the University of Buffalo AD, saying this kid can't transfer to ASU. It looks like they're going to work through that. We'll talk about that. Some college basketball on the other side. Plus, what's going on at Cardinals this morning? They're in the weight room. I'll have some video of that straight ahead, too. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
In the last segment, Eric and I were talking about the Cardinals. Our buddy Mike Lopez sends me a text. Patriots 47, Cardinals 7, 2008, December 21st.
That's right. That was it.
There you go. Good job, Mike. So there's some college basketball today, and I was talking to Eric about this yesterday. We don't put very much time into doing the show because we know each other so well, but there are times where I feel like, am I going on and on too much on a certain topic? I don't think that you can get enough Bobby Hurley right now, just based on what people are reading, people asking questions, just my gut, too. I mean, this, you don't always do stuff based off of what a number shows. What does your gut show on this? And the same thing with Stanley Johnson. So even though it's not college basketball season, the U of A has until this Sunday. This Sunday is the deadline for Tarzewski and Stanley Johnson. Stanley Johnson's high school coach is Gary McKnight at Modern Day. Gary's been around forever. Gary was around when I was in San Diego and in Orange County, and he's done a terrific job. But he's also in Stanley Johnson's inner circle. And Gary McKnight has advised Stanley Johnson to stay for another year at the U of A. The fact that Stanley Johnson has yet to announce that he's leaving for the NBA, once we saw him walk off the court, or Eric was there and saw him walk off the court against Wisconsin. Are you surprised, E, that he has not announced yet what's going on his front? Because you were there with him.
Yes.
Yeah,
because we heard it last year with Aaron Gordon. It's, well, I'm going to take time to sit down with my family, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, 2 days later, it's like, yeah, I'm gone. And Stanley pretty much said the same thing. He should go. I mean, I'm not – he needs to go to the NBA. Like, he is ready
for – I don't know, though. He's only 18.
He's ready for the NBA.
He's only – and I agree with you physically, but you know what? If a kid likes high school – and he has until this Sunday. Like, Caleb Tarzewski to me was a huge disappointment this year. But Caleb Tarzewski is also a 7-footer, a huge man. So he can go into the NBA and have a job. He may have to ride on a bus back and forth to Bakersfield or Reno or wherever.
Well, Stanley Johnson's going to be a lottery pick. Tarzewski may not even be a first-round pick.
But see, I don't know that about Stanley Johnson being a high lottery pick. There's so many guys that have come out. When you have 7 players from Kentucky and 3 players from Duke that roll out there.
If you're going to be a top 12 pick, top 13 pick, and you can get that guaranteed money, you got to go. Especially someone like him. I mean, his game is so much more refined than Aaron Gordon's was at this time.
So that's going to come out. And the fact that Gary McKnight's still on the stay in school, I think is pretty interesting. Arizona State, we told you this yesterday, actually wrote about it a little bit. Yesterday, there was a dust-up that was going on between Shannon Evans, who is a point guard at the University of Buffalo, which Bobby Hurley was the coach of. Shannon Evans and Hurley are very, very close. Shannon Evans averaged 15 points a game and 5 assists last year. He's a 6'3 sophomore. he asked yesterday for his release from the University of Buffalo. In fact, he tried yesterday to talk to the athletic director, Danny White. No, not that Danny White. The son of Kevin White, the former Arizona State athletic director. So this sophomore guard goes to the AD at Buffalo and says, quote, "I wanted to talk to Danny White today. I saw him. He said, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Talk to Nate Oates, the new coach. I told him everything." It's like he was in a rush. So the kid, now put yourself in this position if you're the kid or you're the father or mother of the kid. The kid said that the coach informed him that Buffalo would allow him to transfer, but that they would block any move for him to go to Arizona State and some other schools, VCU, Old Dominion, or another MAC school. The kid is from Suffolk, Virginia. I don't know. The last time I checked, Buffalo to Arizona State, have they ever even played one another? So this is really petty. I mean, a coach can go jump to any job, basically, that he wants to. An administrator can take off anytime they want. But if you're a sophomore guard and the coach that you committed to left and you would like to go play for that coach, no, we're going to block it. You can't go. So this was yesterday and last night. And so I made a couple calls and said, this is absolutely asinine that this athletic director is doing this. This morning, Jeff Goodman, who does a very good job of the ESPN, is reporting that now the athletic director has circled back and that the athletic director, Danny White, will now allow Shannon Evans to transfer anywhere without any restrictions and that he's leaning towards coming to Arizona State to play for Bobby Hurley. So he would have to sit out this year. Trey Holder has already said, should I say that? Eric, he said that at the press conference, right? Holder's going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
So, because there was a question mark of that, but you were at the press conference.
Yeah, Holder said he's looking forward to learning under Bobby Hurley, and why wouldn't he?
So Holder would be back. This sophomore point guard would have to sit because he's a transfer, and he's only a sophomore, so then he'd be there. What I'm getting at is they still are going to honor the offer to Marcus Howard, who's going to Finlay. He's only going to be a junior. And then you have Alex Barzola over at Corona del Sol. So there's another point guard. They've not offered Alex as of yet. U of A has, Grand Canyon has, Memphis has, eight other schools have. So there could be a real logjam here. Point guard is my point. But that story popped up on my screen yesterday. 6'3", second team, all mid-American conference, average 15 points a game, leaning today towards Arizona State. And one other bit before we get out of here for this hour, and then Michael Della Russo here in a couple of minutes, we'll talk United and their opener this week. Over at the Cardinals today, we have some video of them going through their workouts. The Cardinals, they open up their weight room today, and they let Jared go in there and shoot some of this. Guys riding on bikes and all that stuff. But it's the start of the workouts. I know fans get excited. You want to see what the players are doing in there and getting ready and getting after it. The schedule comes out tonight. Tomorrow, the Cardinals brass of Bruce Arians and Steve Keim will be meeting with the media to talk about the upcoming draft and what direction that they'll go. But today over at the facility, these are the sites that you're seeing the Cardinal players getting after it.
The new look facility,
yeah,
by the way.
They put a lot of time and a lot of work into that. And we remember the old dumpy weight room that they had there? Man, we'd have to stand off to the side, and it was just like a little squat rack and... Then they upgraded it, 10 years ago, and now you look at it, and it's wide open. It's really nice. So doing the box jumps and all that stuff. So that's going on over at the facility today, too, and I think Jared's going to put up a story on that on sports360az.com later today. We will talk United and walk United on the other side. Arizona United SC head coach Michael Della Russo joins us next on a Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmatt. Off we go into hour number two. Get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports in a couple of minutes. But as we do every Tuesday, season number two of Talking and Walking United, Arizona United SC head coach Michael Della Russo joins us for a couple of minutes. Every week, it's time to talk United. Their home opener is this week against Portland Timbers FC2. T2 will be at Scottsdale Stadium. In fact, later today, I'm headed over to Scottsdale Stadium to go through a walkthrough. We'll have the broadcast of the match, and I think for you, Michael, it's just another step, another brick being built in this project, and you've got to be excited for this coming Saturday night.
Yeah, We are, for sure, Brad. Good morning to you as well.
But, yeah.
The whole team's excited. Whole organization, we're ready to get started. Just another chapter for our great organization.
Have you been over there to see them lay it out? I know they had a rugby match there this weekend. Have you been over to see how everything looks?
Yeah, I mean, we're training there. We've been training there for the past 2 weeks. We're all settled in. I did a walkthrough this morning with their grounds crew, who's fantastic. And we're just looking forward to getting in line and getting it kicked off on Saturday night.
Tell me about the pitch there and what it looks like for the fans that are coming out and the size and the dimensions and everything. It's different than last year at Peoria, right?
Yeah, it's bigger. We were able to fit at least 110 by 75. You know, New York FC, who's playing on it right now in MLS, can only get 110 by 70, so we're lucky. We're in one of the biggest baseball fields around. And the other thing we're lucky with is the grounds crew is very particular. So they're taking very good care of it for us. And, you know, they want everybody to be impressed by it. So it's just going to benefit our players.
And you're very particular too, right, Coach?
A little bit here and there.
And to that point, if you could do a schedule over again, I know it's behind you, but you wouldn't want four in a row to start out the season. Did you just run up against it, another bus ride and everything on Saturday night?
It wasn't ideal. You know, I think the bus trip probably took the most out of us. And we'll figure it out. We might have to do it again next year. But honestly, we walk away 9 points out of a possible 12. We're very happy. And we're learning and getting better every day. So really it was, you know, you don't like to lose games, but as long as you learn something from it, I think we're in a good place. But, you know, we're happy with it. You got to go through stretches when you're on the road during the year, three, four games. Everybody has to do it one time or another. No problem that we have to do it at the beginning of the year. Now we get a little home stretch.
Yeah. I mean, a month from now, you're probably going to be telling me it's about time we get on the road and get out of here and get guys away from their girlfriends and wives and family. We need a road trip. You know, I've heard that too. That it can work both ways, right?
Oh, of course, of course. And you know me, I'll never be happy, no matter what, either way. I'll find something that we got to get a little better at.
You're not a grumpy coach, though. I mean...
No, not at all, not at all.
Or would the guys say different than that? I don't know.
That's why I don't let them on your show, right?
That's right. Hey, to that point, okay, so I'm watching the other night, and Shinsky makes his professional debut. How did he play?
He did very well. You know, unfortunately, at the end of the day, we probably could only count on one hand guys that had good games, and he was one of them. You know, he came in, did well for Scott. It's a little bit of an unnatural position for him because he's an attacking player, a forward midfielder. But he did a tremendous job at left back for us. He's a very skilled and fast attacking player. So, you know, it was very encouraging to see.
Portland Timbers FC 2 against Arizona United SC at Scottsdale Stadium this coming Saturday night at 7:30. Big crowd, probably bigger than any crowd. That's what I've been hearing. You may be able to update me. Bigger than any crowd last year, right, to this point?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we had 48 seats open, and, you know, we had to stretch more. Now we opened another 1,000, and hopefully we'll get walk-ups, so we have to open another 1,000. You know, and that's what we're looking for. But, you know, hopefully this is just the start of it. Hopefully this is an every game type affair. And hopefully guys, everybody will come out and see the show that we put on and enjoy themselves.
7:30 on Saturday night. Tell me about Portland.
They're a good team. They're coached by old Wake Forest head coach. He's one of the most distinguished college soccer coaches. Decided to step into the pro ranks. He's Caleb's number one assistant. And, you know, they play very similar to Portland's first team. So they play a very attractive style of soccer. They have some young talent. And they're going to be a tough team to play against. But we have a good scout on them. We know them pretty well. But, you know, as far as a fan experience goes, it's going to be two good soccer teams going at it.
And one other thing away from you now, let's go back to London Woodbury, because I saw him over the weekend on the field for the Revolution. That had to feel good to see a player that was here. And I don't know that inside and out, but just from your point of view, to see London be at that level, what were your thoughts?
We were very proud, the whole organization. As a kid that was in the MLS, came to us for 1 year, and we were able to put him right back in there. And for him to get out there on his debut and almost be one of the guys that was man of the match for that game. It was very just encouraging and positive and made us all feel good. And, you know, he's come a long way, credit to himself. But, you know, I think this was a great place for him. And hopefully others see that once they come here and we can hopefully, if they put in the hard work, give them an opportunity to get to Division I and get to MLS and be a primetime player in that league.
That was a good notch for the organization for sure.
Yeah,
When you look at this Saturday night on your end of things, coming off of what happened last weekend, what do you want to see better out of your team this weekend?
Oh, from Saturday night, there's a lot. I think a certain energy level. We came out very flat. Couldn't really get out of it either. We were pretty flat the whole game. So it's more or less, you know, being the aggressors, we know we're going to be at home. We're going to have, you know, the heck of support behind us. And it's just getting guys going and being on the front foot, playing attractive, attacking soccer, and getting a little bit more to our style. The guys are in a good mind frame, and they're excited to get going.
Could they try too hard early on because of the crowd and the first game and all that?
There'll be some excitement, but they're a mature group. They've dealt with it before. They've played in front of, you know, a bunch of people in high concentrated and, you know, big time games. So I think they'll be good.
I'll see you out there Saturday night. Appreciate the visit as always. Thanks.
Yeah, take care, bud.
You got it. Michael De La Russa there for a couple of minutes. So Arizona United SC, Saturday night, Scottsdale Stadium at 7:30. We will be out there as well doing the play-by-play. You can check that out over on the YouTube channel. And we'll have plenty of content up on sports360az.com. Very excited that this continues to grow. And behind the scenes, the business side, there's some big stuff going on. Potential stadium, people wanting to come in and invest, not in a small way. People looking at the growth, Phoenix being the number 11 television market. The MLS is looking at it. There is a lot behind the scenes, stuff I can't talk about, that I will at some point, that I think is very, very positive for the growth of this sport to be right there alongside the other four majors. Not quite there yet, but big steps that have been moving forward to having a fifth major right here.